Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. You know, and I really miss you guys through the week. I know so much is going on, and you have a lot on your shoulders. You got a lot on your plate. You got a lot going on in your life. But to be able to get up and want to hear some life-altering and life-changing information, and not just hear it, listen to put into practice a lot of the things that you hear on our show. That makes all the difference in the world. And I'm so glad you had an opportunity to tune in. Now, our topic for today is I Am Hanging On to Life by Silver Thread. What can I do to live without fear? I mean, people are jumping off bridges because they're afraid of their finances. They're afraid of what's going on in their family. They're taking up arms against whomsoever. People are more, you know, short with each other. They're saying distasteful things on an everyday, regular basis. People are scared of that. People are scared of venturing out. They're scared of putting their life and their soul out there for someone to say, oh, I love you. But when people are just going day by day, just not knowing what they're going to do the next minute, the next second, that's a scary thing. That says people are living without fear. So this week we're going to welcome back Colonel Harrison. He's been gone. He's been doing some witness work. He's been doing some pre-holiday work. He's been really doing a great job out there in the community of ministry. Colonel Harrison, are you on the line today?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Cappuccino.
Yes, how are you doing? We understand you had a great vacation. Getting away from it all just for a moment. How did that go? How did that time away from your home state go? How did that
it
turn out?
Thank you. It went well, Doc. Actually, I was busy, more so than vacationing. I was involved in church activity, worship, and preaching, and so forth. So had somewhat of some downtime, but busy time as well, because I was taking care of spiritual business and personal business as well as interacting with family.
Oh, really? Well, you sound bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, so something must have happened that has you sounding like this. You're sounding so strong and like a teenager. What's going on back there? Maybe I need to fly back there.
Well, the temperature is average about this time of year, about 90 degrees a day, and different humidity, dry humidity, so it kind of zaps your energy, but it's a wholesome atmosphere. It's a wholesome climate, and people seem to be more caring and more open and more affectionate toward one another in this part of the South called the Carolinas.
Well, we need to hear more about that at a later date, because if it's happening in the South, it needs to happen nationwide, because, you know, there's a lot of people living in fear. They're scared to go out of their house day or night. They're afraid to pick up the phone and tell someone that they care about them. They're afraid to pick up the newspaper. They're afraid to turn the TV on. It's always bad news. Maybe I'm going to be next. They're scared to turn even the radio on. Oh, and I know that's a bad thing. What do you think is going on in our America? People say they're just hanging on for dear life. They are engulfed in fear. What are some of the things that you've heard about that might be causing Americans to be fearful 24 hours a day?
There's so many things, Dr. Cappuccino, as you just mentioned. But I think one of the main problems we're having, and this is not a political statement, but it's a true statement. The leaders, in my opinion, the national leaders, in my opinion, that we have now are not the same caliber as the national leaders of years gone by. And because of that, that has engendered and caused a lot of anxiety. Government workers, for an example, are not going to get a pay raise. Federal government workers are not going to get a pay increase this year, which is untraditional, uncharacteristic, which clearly signs of the time. And so when there's turbulence at the top or turbulence in any organization, whether it be the CEO or the president of a company, corporation, whatever, and there's no stability at the top, then there's not going to be any stability within the body or within the company or within the organization or thus among employees. Thus, we don't have no stability among the people in the country because there's uncertainty that's happening with the national leaders at the top. And so that's what I see as one of the main problems.
Excuse me, I want to cut you off. You know what? There's always been trouble in America. There's always been trouble in Europe. There's always been trouble in Alaska. There's always been trouble over some of the what we call the Saudi-led nations. So I don't want to throw a big blanket of fear over those living in America because of maybe the leaders, and I'm going to say his name. You know, a lot of people are blaming Trump for a lot that's going on, but you know what? There's only one man that can do so much, and, you know, we're scripture people. It says that no man is good. No, not one. So, and when you start talking about leadership, you've got to have someone to lead. You've got to have people that want to be led. You've got to have people that are respectful, dignified, and who do not want to share and air the dirty laundry out in the eyes of the world. I'm thinking that if people want to blame Trump, they need to look into their own window. And you can say, well, what have they done? What have they done in the position they have been in to make America a better place? This place called America was not in a good shape before Mr. Trump, if people don't want to call him president, took office. President Trump was not in office, and this isn't a Trump rally here, but the Watts riots, the World War One, World War Two, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, Trump was nowhere around. Billions lost their lives in those two wars there. What can we say about that? And they say they had some of the best presidents, three during that period from 1914 to 1960 minimum. Trump was nowhere on the scene at that time saying that he's president and he's going to lead the leaderless. You have a lot of people, I don't care who would be in office, they're just not going to follow right action. And then we got a Bible prophecy on the table. Who, if Christ himself came down from that throne and sat in the White House, God's prophecy is still going to go on. He's already said centuries ago what he's going to do with America and the neighboring countries. So, do you think we can blame Trump for people living in fear? I mean, let's kind of go there. Do you think, in common sense, we can do something like that? What is your thing now? Because a lot of Trump bashing, a lot of people saying, oh, he's no good. But what are they doing? What have they done? What have they done in education to help America be a place without fear? I'm afraid right now, sitting where I'm sitting, I'm serious. You know what? I'm kind of like happy-go-lucky woman. But you know what? I'm kind of looking at things, too, myself. And I got some new fears, but I'm going to shut no fears down. I got some new fears. What do you think about that? Is it right to blame President Trump? I'm going to say his name. Is it right to put all this on this man's shoulder? He ain't nothing but a man, just like all the millions of men walking around. The only thing, he got money. Can we honestly blame the man that half of America elected? Can we honestly do that when we start talking about living with fear here in our nation?
Okay. Well, I think I preface Dr. Coppertino respectfully what I said. I said national leaders, plural, and I didn't identify any particular national leader. But let me say this. It's my belief, I don't put my trust in man. The Bible says with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And if we're going to turn America around, get rid of the fear, get rid of the anxiety, try and get the morals back where people have love and respect and kindness and compassion toward one another, I'm going to take it back to the root cause. It has to go back to the family. We have to go back to the family. There has to be leadership within the family.
Very true. Yeah. Very true.
Very true.
I think every man is a trump in his own family, because when we start talking about leaders and leadership, you've got to have some followers. How can anyone say that they're being led by, well, you know, whether led by the Spirit is one thing, is different. But we've got to think in terms of people able to be led. You can't be a leader without subjects. You can't be a leader without someone to lead. What is your opinion on that?
Yeah. Well, that's true, Doc. I've been involved in many different organizations and 38 years in law enforcement career, and I held the bar high when I was in a leadership position in law enforcement. But I set a standard because I realized that as a leader to whom much is given, much is required, I set the standard in regards to moral excellence, in regards to abiding by the law, in regards to citizens' rights, in regards to excessive force. I set the standard. Leaders in leadership positions, whether it's in the home, or a father in the home, or son of family home, mother, has to set the example. Then it goes from the family to the church. And the church leadership has to be very, very important. It's very pertinent that the pastor of the various denominations espouse leadership from the pulpit and help those who need to be helped, to help encourage them, counsel them, provide the seniors with medication, families in need of food, have some kind of food program for them. So we got to go back to the grassroots of really Americans helping one another without regards to race, nationality, color, or creed.
I really like that. I really like that. You know what? That sounds very good because, you know, people are just in misery day and night. They're going around, you know, wearing these masks of deception. Dr. Jekyll today, Dr. Hyde tomorrow. They seem to not want to face that everyday, day-to-day realities. I'm not talking about trying to get a trip to Mars. I'm talking about just getting up, putting the shoes on and clothes to go to a grocery store. Many people are just hurting to a point where they can't even do that. And some have even told me that they've tried to live a life worth living and, hey, it ain't working. Hey, my God, we got to let the people know that living a life worth living, it might take you out of your comfort zone, your day-to-day comfort zone. But when you start saying that you're just too scared to go on another day, you are scared to open your drapery, your look out of your window, what can we tell these people? I mean, what is the solution? I mean, is there one? They don't want to live the life that they're living, and most of them don't want to live it in fear. But, my God, look at what's going on in media and press. What can a person do if they're just like, oh, I'm standing on the edge of this cliff. You know, I thought this, I thought that, I thought that, I thought this, and it just ain't that. What can we tell people going through those throes, even some of them in secret? It's just a bad. Colonel, what can you do to help these people live without fear?
Well, Doc, I guess. And I'm saying yes as just a generic matter of speech as I collect my thoughts.
I don't want you to guess. I just said it as a matter of nomenclature.
What I recommend is they tap into organizations, tap into people. If they can't find someone in the family that they can connect with and share their anxieties with, they have to connect with an organization, community-based organization. There's numerous community-based organizations that people can come be affiliated with to have group therapy sessions and resources, and they're local base. In addition to the community-based church, and so as they have these roundtable sessions for those who are recovering drug addicts, those who are recovering criminals from crime, from a life of crime. There are organizations out there that will help people to to overcome their fear and anxiety, and they're community-based. And I would encourage them to seek those community-based organizations out then and go and attend those meetings and ask them for assistance. Tell them what their problems, their concerns are, and they'll be able to help nurture and refer them and assist them with their concerns, with their fear, with their anxiety, with their needs.
That sounds very good, and we really need to have some names of some of these organizations, because there's millions a year from all walks of life that are killing themselves. So obviously some of these places are not working. And if you're talking about a man sitting in a burning house, probably need someone to run up in there and help him out of there. You know, I know there's some religious sects that actually do that. They go door to door. They get right up front and personal in the home. They aren't sitting waiting for them to come out of the burning house. They're going in. They're going into the burning house, sight unseen. I don't know if I may get shot. I don't know who's open behind this door, but I'm going. I mean, there's some that are actually doing that. But then when you say that these people need to go out and connect, and they aren't doing that. So you and I think you and I got a better solution for that. They're not getting them going out. They are, the heroin epidemic has reached heights that even the president of the U.S. doesn't know what to really do about that. Something else here is at work that has people confused, that have them almost running out of their shoes, thinking that there's no way out, there's no answers for me, no one's coming for me, no one is calling on me. I don't think we need to take the soft shoe way out, the easy way out. There's got to be some other way, and we need to blame someone that, because your leader, I surely consider myself a leader. You know, I really do. But I see something here. I see a trend, and I don't see it getting any better. People are dying like flies by their own hand. They're killing themselves. They're sitting in their home, and they're saying that this is the best I can do. I'm not going out. You know, that one ain't no good. The world ain't no good. What do we have as leaders for anyone that might feel that, you know, I just don't know if I want to go on another day. I'm too scared to go on. Do we have anything for them? Because they aren't going to get up, put the shoes on, the Sunday suit on, and go out there. Say, okay, I'm looking for some love. You know, I'm looking for some mental health. They're not doing that. Studies show they aren't doing that. They're too scared to do it, and they don't think it's worth it. Somehow they don't think if I do all of that, it just ain't going to cut. It's not worth it. They ain't no good either. That's why I'm not going to talk to them. Is there any solution, Colonel, for people that are in that mindset that are not going to get out and talk to you, me, and anyone else? What others, and it's got to be some out there. We can't blame everything on, you know, some evil force. An evil force is doing this, evil force is doing that. We can't, we got to stop that. It's not working. What can we do to help people living in fear? We don't want to tell them nothing. Is there anything you can suggest that these people need to be shown from your vantage point?
Yes, we are our brother and sister's keeper. Families have a duty, they have a responsibility, they have an obligation to see about other family members. Once a family member move out of the home, they're still a member of that immediate family, and in addition to that, they're the extended family members. And what I suggest is that family members know they have loved ones they haven't seen in a long time, or maybe elderly, or may have some medical problem, medical disability, or some other type of problem. The family's got to take the initiative to go and see about family members who are recluse, who have shut themselves off from others, and go and see about them, reach out to them wherever they are. They got to seek them. If they seek them, they'll find them. They can help meet them at their need. But there's a saying that blood is thicker than water. Families were strong years gone by because families always looked out for one another. We got to return to that. The society is large and it's gigantic and it's huge, it's impersonal, it's uncaring, it's unkind, it's unloving. Families got to have that passion for one another and find their family members, go to them, see what they need, tend to them, help them, move them in, whatever they need to do to assist them. This goes back to the family having love for one another. And I believe it has to begin with families reaching out to their family members, helping those who are in need, and then we can rebuild the base. It begins with family, and for the most part, it ends with family. We just become caught up in a large, gigantic wheel called society that's spinning and spinning and spinning, and now it's spinning out of control. But within the hub of that wheel is the basis for the family, where the family came from.
Wow, my God, you know, that sounds like something that most America has not explored. People are saying their families don't know anything about them, and therefore they don't care anything about them. They're saying that in the family, a lot of horror is put on the table. Are you saying we need to restructure the family or return to the roots of the family? Because when we talk about family, that means there's more than one person involved. It kind of tends to lend to a group of people living in a commonality that know each other, have seen each other at their worst, that have seen their attributes, that have seen what their personality can produce. So much happens in the family, in the jealousy, hatred, and certainly a lack of love. What can we do to stir the opinions of the family? Because I think that resonates with exactly some of the things I've been thinking about as far as people saying, you know, it ain't worth living, so I'm just going to shoot up day and night. I can't afford it, but I'm going to go and rob and kill so I can, you know, make sure that habit's on the table. But again, it tends to give me the feeling that something evil and ugly and bad may have happened in the family that has shaped the personality of a person that doesn't care about himself, doesn't care about anyone else. What can we do? What can we do to have people say, you know what, a return to family is what I need to do? And I'm talking from my soul and from my heart, almost, you know, remembering the prodigal son. When he got tired, no matter what happened, obviously there was some love there and he just made a wrong decision or he would not have been returning there. But the prodigal son got it and went on back. Most people do not fail their prodigal anything. What can we do to help people return to a sense of family? You have anything to say on that, Colonel? And I know you do. A sense of family. How can you do that? Return to a sense of family.
We have to encourage the family values again. Just in the beginning, as I think back over Adam was the first man, and the creator of the universe said it's not good for man to be alone. And so then he made woman. And so that was the beginning of family. And so a man and woman is the essence of family. And from that root cause and root the core of two people coming forward, they were able to have children called offsprings. It's inherent that we need one another. It's inherent that the compassion is generated within the family. And I just can't imagine anyone looking at a family member that has need and not going to see about them. And if that person is that way, then that person, in my opinion, is not worth their salt. We have to go back to the basis. If not, the family, as we know it, will continue to deteriorate because now we live in an era of so-called nuclear family. But this nuclear family really has fragmented the core tenets of the essence of a family: mother, father, son, daughter, sister, brothers. So we just got to return to the simple principle of family. They do the grassroots, this quick comment, they do grassroots of mobilizing people in certain districts for election purposes when there's a candidate running for election. That same concept can be used to redefine the family and get people, family members involved with one another. Knowing who your neighbor is, other than your immediate family members, knowing who your neighbor is, your next door neighbor and your extended neighbor, so that we can start caring and looking out for one another again.
Wow, that's, you know what? You have summed it up, Colonel. It all starts in the home. It all starts with people caring about one another. It all starts with someone saying, you know what, I'm my brother's keeper. So, hey, this one here is mine. I got this. It all starts back from the family. So when people start talking about I'm afraid to live in fear, most of these fears were taught in our childhood. Don't go across the street. You might get run over. Don't buy a car. You might get killed in it. Don't go up in a mountain. You may fall off of it. And on and on and on. A lot of people have developed these fears from childhood. But there's one source, and I know you know who that source is, that it said that, you know, I came to give life and to give it more abundantly. He didn't say, I came to make you a fear monger. In fact, there's scripture that says, hey, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So I think people need to have more of this thing called God and the Godhead, ruler of the universe, king of the world, whatever people might call him, whatever people might refer to, God Almighty, God Supernal, whatever they call him. I think we need to get people on the road of experiencing where they really came from. They really came from the family of God up in heaven, because he says, you know what, I put my spirit in them and they became a living being. So when we talk about a family, we can even take it to a higher level and say the family of God. No joke. You know, you're sitting in my church, you're sitting in my synagogue, you know, you're sitting in my chapel and I, you know, in my sanctuary, and I'm going to tell you this and tell you that. I mean, I think a call back to people, like you mentioned, to experience family values as they should have. I am thinking myself that to send them up higher than that to a God that says he is love. And if he's love, he created mankind in love. So that means really we are walking loving beings, but we're not displaying that. So a return to family, a return to the family of God, because he said, you know, if you start looking after me and preaching and teaching after me, I'm going to give you new homes, new families, new brothers, new sisters. You're on the right track, Colonel, and I'm so glad we were able to draw it out. Now, you have a book that talks about, you know, the coming chaos where there's some things that have been going on in the world, so much so that a lot of authors are saying, is America headed for chaos? Now, you have a book that talks about this. We want to make our next week's show fully tantamount on your book. We want to go chapter by chapter. We want to hear a little bit from you about why that book really needs to be heavily promoted, because you talk about fear. This book talks about the aspects of racism and how people became more divided and segregated, not only in the South, but nationwide. I want to beg you to come back and return so that we can actually do dialogue. Is that possible on your book, the dialogue on your book next week?
Yes, Doc. I'll be honored to do that. I'm certainly glad to return, and thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, I sure hope so, because you know what? I tell people this man, he's the real deal. He knows what he's talking about, and of course, there's a rise if you take it. You're going to be a winner. Thank you so much, Dr. Harrison, Colonel Harrison, Reverend Harrison. You are just so much of everything. And I'm hoping and praying that people will start coming in. We have quite a few listeners. But right now, maybe, you know, they're afraid, they're ashamed, they're just listening. But let's open up the portal also to them next week. Colonel, thank you so much for tuning in. We always welcome you. You are just a marvel. And I do hope to talk with you this week before the next show, because I have some questions, too, that might be very instrumental in pulling together the program talking about this thing called chaos. All of you have a great weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm a little sleepy. I've been really staying up late, you know, walking the floors, trying to get a good show and to get my life together as per this show. But thank you. God bless you. We'll see you next week on the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Thank you. Bye-bye.